Ramsey TV.
Yep, there's my fake poinsettia back there. I like it. Gracing the background here. This stuffed chair's moving in on me. It was over there. I don't know what happened. It's encroaching upon my territory. I think that's a 15-yard penalty. And, oh yes, today is show 800 of MZTV. And I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do to celebrate this fact tomorrow. This is Martin Sender. Welcome to another edition, yet another. Well, the show must go on, no matter what. And as God gives strength, the show will go on. Charles is sitting over there right now. I'm surprised he isn't scratching or digging or barking or running around to try to get on show 800. I mean, it is a watershed moment here. So far he's calm. That's good. So tomorrow, yes, what I'm going to do, I'm going to make this announcement in front of everybody here today. I am going to record show 801. That's right. Because I'm not a big guy for these. They're in a way, they're like artificial thresholds. You know, like when you turn 30 or 40 or 50, like age is irrelevant. It really is. You are who you are. You just be. You just live. I mean, who cares how old you are? But the way the societal construct is that as soon as you reach this certain age, oh, you're old. They used to call you over the hill when you reached 40. It's just not true. And it goes the other way. Young people are supposed to be rebellious when they hit their teenage years. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we have a teen in the teenage years, and you almost become a self-fulfilled prophecy because that's what it's supposed to be. When I raised my sons, they talked about the terrible twos. Why is it the terrible twos? Like there's some threshold. As soon as you turn two, the wheels come off. Oh, watch out. The terrible twos have been reached. No. When you love your children and you discipline them and you teach them in the way they should go, then there's no such thing as a terrible twos. So live life. Don't worry about these artificial thresholds or speed bumps or whatever you want to call them. This is show 800. It's nice. I like round numbers. The number 8 is great. It's a number of a new beginning in scriptures. So it would be fun to reach show 1000, but don't forget. No, it wouldn't, because that means the snatching away will have been delayed until show 1000. I don't know how long it takes to do another 200 shows. I don't think about these things. I just make the show. It's my job. It's what I do. It's what I love. It is what I love. So don't forget, though, I have other things to see and do and listen to. I have returned to Zender. Go onto my homepage, martinzender.com. On the left side, you'll see Return to Zender. There's 151 shows of that. It doesn't include this. I have a video series called something about Daniel. Secrets in the Book of Daniel. Daniel. Secrets in the Book of Daniel. 50 shows. But I think you'll find that under the category All New Zender Sheridan Show. That's a series of audio shows except for some videos. I have 400 audios. Don't forget that. You'll find that at my homepage, martinzender.com. You'll see the Martin Zender Dan Sheridan Show. You'll see the all-new Martin Zender Dan Sheridan Show. And don't forget Crack of Dawn Report. That's the first videos I started to make was 2009. I made my first YouTube video in 2008. But 2009, I started a series called Crack of Dawn Report. Go look at those. I don't know how many there are. Those 50, maybe 60, 50. And the newsletters are there. I'm just telling this for those of you who are new and think that this is the only thing that's offered. No. And all this stuff is free that I'm telling you. All of this is free. Oh, the Revelation series. Did I mention that? Yeah. Well, I spent 3.5 years teaching on every verse in the book of Revelation. Another 800 shows. There it is. Scroll down to the bottom. I think it's called Zender on Revelation. And then there's a ZWTF newsletter. I think I have 300 of those or something like that. And then there's the Clanging Gong News, the newsletter I did in 2009 while I was making Crack of Dawn Report. I think there's, I don't know, who cares how many there are? Just, it's all free. I mean, you're going to be busy for a long time. Go for it. But I'm going to do something special today to celebrate, too. I'm going to show you a photograph now. I think it's a good time for this. I'm going to show you a photograph taken on October 1st, 1993. And, yeah, there it is. This was the day I quit the Postal Service to start this work. October 1st, 93. I had worked for the Postal Service for 8.5 years. I'm sorry about that mustache. I don't know what happened, but... That's my wife, Marcia, my sons, Gabe, Luke, and Paul. It was 30 minutes after I had my last day at work, probably less than an hour after I launched. And there we are posing in the beautiful October sun. That's Greenwich, Ohio. That's the farmhouse where I lived for 25 years, raised my kids. You got to love it. It was scary. I hit a wall of fear. Like the month before I did this, I hit a wall of fear about this work. I couldn't talk for hours. I was petrified. I mean, I had a wife and three kids, and everybody told me, Martin, you can't do this. You can't do this. You have to have a backup plan. You have to have safety net. You have to, it's like, you can't do this to your wife. Do it to my wife. Of course, what do you think? I didn't talk to my wife about doing this. Of course I did. I'll never forget. I made the mistake of going to a financial counselor, and my whole plan was embarrassing, and my plan was non-existent. I didn't have a plan. He said, well, what are you planning on doing? Well, I'm going to write a newsletter. Okay, well, how many subscribers do you have right now? None. Okay, well, this is what you're going to do for a living. He said, yes. Okay, how many subscribers? None. Okay. How much are you going to charge for your newsletter? I was so embarrassed. My mouth was dry. I looked down at the table. I said, nothing. Excuse me, sir. Nothing. I'm not going to charge anything for the newsletter. Okay. How much money do you have? Very embarrassing figure. And he told me I was going he laid out a financial plan for me. That I think included as a third option, like suicide. But I read a quote in Reader's Digest at the time that was very helpful. I have a light bulb that keeps going on and off up here. On and off. I don't know why. It's got a mind of its own. I read a quote in Reader's Digest. If you jump off a cliff, you will build wings on the way down. Ho ho. You want to call on all your creativity, you want to call upon your determination, do you want to call upon your ingenuity, do you want to call upon any entrepreneurial cell in your body that may exist? Well, jump off a cliff. Oh, you'll get real creative before you hit the ground. Oh, you'll have ideas you've never thought of before because you would never have opportunity to think of them because you're never called upon to think of them. We have so much more in us. We have so much that we can do. But it's rarely called upon because we don't like to get out of our comfort zone. We don't like to take chances. I mean, I know that absolutely there's no such thing as chance. I dedicated this work to God. I'll never forget the day, probably a year, maybe less than a year, 6 months before I did quit the Postal Service and take that photo. I looked myself in the mirror. I mean, people say, I looked myself in the mirror. No, this is not a figure of speech. I literally looked at myself in the mirror. I like to call myself kid. I looked at myself in the mirror, and I was posing as God asking me a question. It's like, what do you want to do with the rest of your life, kid? Because I had worked for the Postal Service, USPS, for 8.5 years. It was extremely challenging to learn everything like you would not believe. It was really hard. I had gotten my job down, Pat. So I knew it. And I knew there weren't going to be really any more big challenges for the next, 20 years? Till I freaking retire? And I looked at myself and I said, I want to write about God. Oh, I forgot. The second question was, this is an important part of the question. What do you want to do with the rest of your life if money were no object? You see, because most people make all their decisions in life around money. Well, I can't do what I really want to do because of money. I've talked with you about this before. There's a saying that goes, do what you love, the money will come. I don't know if that's true. Maybe it is. I hope it is. I think it is. God has worked a miracle for me every month. For 28 years, he works a miracle and puts it on your heart to keep this work going and to keep me going. So I'm always indebted to you, grateful, never take it for granted, just profoundly thankful. And I keep meaning to read letters. I get these amazing letters. People say how important the work is to them from all over the world. And I love these letters. And then I'm thankful for them. I write a thank you note and then I go on. Because, like I said, I dare you to give me a big head. If I'm lucky, it'll last for, 45 seconds, maybe a minute, 2 minutes tops. And then, Scott has a way always bringing you back to earth. But anyway, I need to read these letters to you because you're responsible for all the blessing that has gone forth from here. I'm turning reflective here on show 800. I like it. You're responsible. This is our work, not mine. It's ours. God put all of us together. I remember saying to Marcia at the kitchen table, I've told you this before, never forget it. I said, I just think there's people. It was almost like a scene from Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come. Exactly what it was. I said, I think there's people out there we need to communicate with. They need us, we need them. There needs to be this contact. I know they're out there. But that's you. It turns out to have been you. I knew it. But we couldn't find them unless we built it. Build it and they will come. But we built it when there was no one. We built it. We stepped off trusting God, putting our faith in God. My wife said, I can't put my faith in you on this thing because you're kind of crazy. I'm putting my faith in God. I said, good. That's what I'm doing too. So it ain't me against you. It's me and you against God. If you want to look at it that way, put your faith in God. Put your faith in God. So if you build it, they will come. So we built it when there was nobody. Just like Field of Dreams, the movie. That movie's always inspired me. Whenever I've gotten down, whenever my faith has been shaken, whenever I just watch Field of Dreams, watch it. Kevin Costner, right? Ray Kinsella builds a baseball field in the middle of nowhere, right? That's the equivalent of me going to this financial counselor, which was the stupidest idea I ever did. It's nice because I can talk about it now like a joke, but, you're going to do what? You have how much money? You have how many subscribers? You're charging what? And in the movie, he tears down his cash crop, right? Can sell it. Tears down his corn to build a baseball field in the middle of nowhere. In the middle of nowhere. And the most crucial part of the movie is when, for the first year, like nothing happens. He's looking out the window at this field. Cost him money. He's losing his farm. He's going down the tubes. Him and his wife are having problems because of the stress. And that's where the faith comes in. It's like, am I crazy? What have I done? What the hell have I done? Him and his wife are sitting at the table, wrestling with their finances. His daughter comes in. Because he built this field so that this baseball player could come back, like from the dead. This player could come back. That's the reason he built it, because he got this vision. Build it and he will come. If you build it, he will come. Who's he? A player from the old Chicago White Sox. Shoeless Joe Jackson. Yeah, that was the whole idea. He built it so that this guy could come. But there was no guy. A year went by. No guy. Where's the guy? I built this for the guy. I don't see the guy. Meanwhile, oh my God, we're going to have to mortgage the farm. We're going to have to do this. We're going to have to do that. We're in a financial situation here. It's faith, baby. It's faith, 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 faith. Then the day. Oh, my God, I love this part. His daughter comes in. Daddy. Daddy, there's a man in your field. There it is. There's a man in your field. Shoeless Joe Jackson came because Ray had built it. That's why. Faith. And now we're all in the field. Before I go, I have to tell you, we need to help our friend Tony Smith. I'm going to put a link down here to a GoFundMe page. Tony Smith had a real rough run-in with the CV19er, and so he almost died. He's a good friend of mine. He's been a friend of this work for years, probably 20 years. He's helped to support this work. He loves this show. He loves all of you. He's in a financial crunch right now. I contributed. I encourage you to contribute as well. GoFundMe link down here. Tony Smith, he's got a $5,000 goal to reach. He's halfway there. Let's put him over the top today, and let's put him beyond over the top. Because the Paul says, Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens. Galatians 6:2, love that verse. Very simple. Bear one another's burdens. That's what we do here in the body of Christ. We help each other out. We pray for each other, yes. We pray for each other. We support each other. We encourage one another. All very important. And then when the rubber meets the road, sometimes we need money to get through this life to help us through to get something done. It's the coin of the realm. And so this man needs our help now. Tony Smith, GoFundMe page right under here. Please contribute to him. I've contributed, as I said, and let's put him over the top and beyond. Over the top and beyond. In Christ. In Christ we are. We are. Right now, over the top and beyond.